You know, sometimes, just sometimes, life throws you a curveball so hard, you struggle to stand up once it's done ricocheting off your face. And that's how I'm starting this episode. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. I hope you're doing well. I'm a bit frustrated at the moment because I've recorded this episode. It took me 40 minutes to record the first time. And then I sat down to edit and the first 10 minutes were missing. Completely flat. Blank. And the rest of it was unusable because there was a weird noise. So let's hope this goes better and it doesn't take me as long. So yeah, let's get on to it. As I said in the previous episode, this is going to be a month full of lessons, and the first one is physical decluttering. So I've kind of cherry-picked different aspects of decluttering and spoken about it in a more generalized way. If you want me to go in depth, let me know via social media, via the comments, via any which way, send a pigeon if you have to, and I will do something more in depth if you want. But this is just a general dipping my toes in the water of decluttering and the tips I can give. I'm currently in the process and have been in the process of decluttering and clearing a lot of things. So I think it's a very apt episode to make this week. But yeah, my mental health has gotten much better, and a lot of that I do attribute to making small changes in my physical life, whether it be physically moving more, taking care of my body in terms of what I eat, what I drink, my vitamins, my water, or even just my physical space. There's a lot going on. So let's jump right in. With it being November, and honestly, how are we in November? It blows my mind. A lot of people start prepping for Christmas, and I love Christmas. Not gonna jump the gun. But yeah. A lot of people start preparing for Christmas. A lot of people start prepping for New Year's if they aren't particularly religious. And that's brilliant. The earlier, the better. So, because a lot of people are doing it, I thought I would just share some tips that you might find useful. And if not preparing and kind of spring cleaning your house for an event, just getting your stuff together in general is a good idea for South Africans. We are currently going into our warmer seasons, so decluttering your clothes and changing out your wardrobe is always a good idea. So yeah, that is what today is all about. And with it being in particular physical clutter, I always like to just preface this by saying two things. Firstly, Rome wasn't built in a day. Don't try and tackle the mountain and expect to get it done in a day. That is not going to happen. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Number two is that this will hurt you physically. And I mean that. Like, you will feel a physical pain when it comes to certain items because you need to get your mental state ready. Like, those are the two things. One, don't fly too close to the sun. Don't try and make a mountain out of a molehill. Like, you will suffer if you do. It's not a good idea. First, see the forest for the trees. And I'm throwing all the analogies at the wall because one will resonate and stick with you. Decluttering is not a jump in at the deep end activity. It is something that needs prepping, planning, and methodical attack. Like, this is not an easy thing. So, first and foremost, take a step back. Do your research and make a plan. Two brilliant examples I love citing because everybody's seen Netflix. Check out The Minimalist. They have an Emmy, if I'm not mistaken, nominated documentary. Check it out. Go watch it. It's available on YouTube for free without ads. If you don't want to do it on Netflix or you can't, get it. Watch it. Listen to their podcast. You will not regret it. Secondly, Marie Kondo. Yes, that is how you actually pronounce her name. It's not Marie, it's Marie Kondo. She has two seasons of Tidying Up with Marie Kondo on Netflix. Those are also brilliant because there's a diverse range of people who needed her help. And whether you are downsizing because of an empty nest, whether you have kids and you are just suffering because there's so much, and everything in between, they have beautiful episodes that you can watch to help you figure it out. So do your research, watch, listen, figure it out, and take everything with curiosity. Being like, I'm curious about that. That seems like an interesting approach. Why would they do that? Don't take it for gospel. Not everything is going to work for everyone. It's a very trial and error kind of a process. It's not going to be quick and free. Like, that's not how this works. It's an endeavor that you choose to partake in. So do your research, and then once your research is done, get a plan of action going. I always like to first suss out everything. If you can, look at each room with a pen and paper and be like, okay, these are the main areas of this room I want to tackle, and the rest can just be done as I go. So for example, if your cupboard is always a mess in your bedroom and your desk is always cluttered, but your floor space is fine and your shoe rack is always organized, cool, shoe rack can save for last. Desk, you need to work there, that's maybe a priority, and then your closet you kind of do after that. So in order, it would be your desk, your closet, and your shoes. Figure that out. Find out where the most attention is needed, where the least is, and organize it like that. There you go. Done and dusted. You got a plan. Now, once you have this plan, this is where the pain comes into play. Because for a lot of people, especially with an old school mentality, you have worked very hard to earn your possessions. And just because you've put money into it, it's already hard to let go of. That is understandable. That is okay. It's completely fine. However, this is where you need to kind of weigh the scales. Do you want to keep something you don't use just because you've paid for it? Or would you rather get rid of it, maybe sell it and actually recoup some of that money and pass on the benefit to someone else and have that space free in your home? What would you prefer to do? Because eventually, it's going to go from being something you loved when you bought it to an ornament that you see to eventually something you hate because you've cleared out everything. This one thing is here and it's like a grudge item. You're just holding on to it and don't want to let go because you put money into it. So like, what do you want to do? What is the goal? What do you plan on achieving by just keeping that thing? It can physically hurt to let go of some items because of the money you put into it. Or worse, it's a sentimental item that actually is broken, serves no purpose, annoys you, but because there's sentimentality attached to it, you can't let it go. Which is hard. Once again, I get it. But this is where you need to once again weigh up the options. Are you willing to invest more money to get it repaired and functioning again? Or would you rather maybe give it to another family member who finds that same sentimentality but can actually maintain the item and breathe new life into it? So, it can hurt sometimes to declutter. But at the end of the day, you gotta ask yourself, as Marie Kondo does this spark joy? Because that's what you want. You want to walk into your space and just feel joy, not grudging looking at this thing. So it's gonna be a bit hard, especially in the beginning. Sometimes it might be easy, and there are actually a lot of steps involved when getting rid of things, especially sentimental items. But like I said, do your research, find out what method works for you, and you never know what you'll get rid of. I know for a fact there have been some clothing items, I don't know why, but once I told myself I'm just gonna clear out what I don't like and what are firm no's, but for some reason I grudgingly wear it or use it. And the first thing I did was grab like 3 t-shirts and be like, these need to go. I need to get rid of these. Like, I'm ready to burn them at this point. Like, can we please? So some stuff are gonna be easy. Like some stuff you've been eyeing to get rid of, you just never gave yourself permission. And now you can. So don't worry. You can let go of things. You don't need permission from other people to get rid of your stuff. They are yours, whether you sell them, whether you donate them, whether you upcycle them, it's yours. You can do with it what you want. So you do you. One thing I also want to point out is once you do actually get rid of some stuff, it's always nice to kind of see how your space changes. And you might actually find yourself wanting to upgrade some things now that you've maybe cleared out your lounge or some of the clutter and you've gotten rid of things and you're just like, my space looks more open. Maybe I need to upgrade my TV. Maybe I need to upgrade my couch. Maybe I have been holding on to things that have been costing me maintenance money. And now that I no longer have them, I have a bit more cash flow. And now I can actually invest in nicer things. And I specifically phrase it that way Because your money is exactly that. It's your money that you're using to invest in things you buy. And yes, investing in a set of plates or a crockery set, it's not your traditional investment like stocks, but it does count as an investment in your life because now you've got extra crockery, you've got more plates and things so that when guests come over, there's enough, they're not mismatched. And you can actually put a full load in your dishwasher if you have one. I don't know how these things work. I wash it with a sponge, like, honestly. But that is what I'm getting at. Like, you can invest in what you invest in, and that is okay. And even if you don't want to upgrade immediately, you can actually save up your money and then upgrade, which is always a good idea. So, it's about finding your balance, your space, your thing. And I'm not saying get rid of everything, because I do know that there are like minimalists that live with 50 items. And I'm just like, my kitchen needs 50 items. Don't even try that with me. And that's okay. But it's about finding a balance. You know, you get extreme minimalists that own like nothing. And then you get minimalists with maximalist tendencies. For example, if you're a baker, you maybe own a maximalist kitchen where you have different accessories, different shapes, molds, cookie cutters, those types of things. But everything else in your life is minimalist, and that's fine. But that is the point of minimalism. You are subtracting the things that don't serve you to make space for things that do. So definitely find your sweet spot. You're not trying to get rid of things to the point that you have to wash dishes like 7 times a day because you only have 2 cups and you only have 2 plates and you're a couple that live together. And you also don't want to have only like 2 sweaters, so you have to wash every 3 days. Like, that is a lot of laundry and like a lot of just extra work. So finding how much you need as a base and then fluctuating from there and playing around and see what works best for you. That is always the best thing. I have been trying to clear my physical space for a while, and a very big catalyst of change has been my work setup. So, still working from home. Yay, love that for me. But I have now changed from working to a monitor and a box thing to working from a laptop that I hook up to the same monitor. But I no longer have the big box taking up space in my desk. And that has been a game changer. Seriously, the space that was cleared out from where the box used to sit in my desk shape has actually been stacked with the books I plan on reading in the order I plan on reading them. And that has been a game changer for me because that has cleared books from other surfaces and just made my workflow much better. So immediately I swapped out that on my desk, and that prompted me to kind of roll over and keep going. So I elevated the monitor, I cleared the desk, I started putting away certain things that usually live on top of my desk and put them in other spaces. And that has done a lot for my mental state. Like, seeing the clutter-free desk space has actually made me a little bit more productive. I won't say it's cured everything, but it did spark a lot of joy. Just to keep things simple, when I need something, there's a home for it, and I can pull it out when I need it. So that has made a big difference. And that is why I always try and recommend that you start with the most lived in place. Because for me, that's my desk. I work my 9-to-5 at my desk. I'm working on my podcast at my desk. I edit at my desk. I journal at my desk. And I bullet journal and plan my day at my desk. So it's a very well used space. But the fact that it's been decluttered does smooth a lot of the processes. And like I said, it affects mental health. So that has worked wonders for me. Since clearing that and seeing the effect it has had on my mental health, I actually started doing other smaller things, like clearing off my nightstand, fixing the top of my record player to be more flow state like where it just makes things simple and seamless. My cosmetics box, well, it's not cosmetic, it's more of like skincare, teeth care, all that types of stuff in my bathroom, made that more seamless and flow better. Like, these small things have made it much easier to get into a state of flow, even when it comes to doing mundane things like having my floss, my toothpaste, my mouthwash, all my things in a order makes things much simpler and seamless, which is basically the best thing you can do, especially when you're trying to build habits. Make things easy and seamless for yourself, because if you have to open up a cluttered drawer to try and find your floss, you're gonna give up and not do it. If it's right there, front and center, in an organized little box, or even just in an organized row, you're much more likely to get it done. And also, it helps you get rid of the old expired nonsense you don't need. So why not do that? Not only does having these basically items lined up improve your state of flow, it also makes it much easier to switch lanes when needed. For example, because my desk is clear, when I need to go from work mode to personal mode, I shut down my laptop, move it to the side, and then pull out my personal one, play some music, do whatever I want. And that takes me out of work zone and puts me in home zone. And that's just small things, especially for people who work from home. Like, I cannot emphasize this enough. If you don't have a separate work office or home office, like me, I work in my bedroom, but there's a separate desk station to work from. Changing out your items, for me, putting away my work laptop, pulling out my personal one, switches off that work mode. So definitely find those small triggers that you can kind of do for yourself, even if it is you dress up for the day to do work. Maybe after work, shut down your laptop and put on a different pants or a different top, or change something, like let your hair loose, dance around. Do something that kind of signals it's the end of my workday and the start of my personal time. Those are the best things I can recommend you do. Because like I said, decluttering starts with your mental state, and if you aren't in the right frame of mind, it's not gonna happen. And it rolls over into other aspects of your life, like even just decluttering your work desktop or your personal desktop, moving things out the way. It does so much and you feel so good. And not only does that roll over into other aspects of your life, it might even roll over onto other people in your life. My mother actually just gave me a set of 3 bowls and cups from a set. One of the cups broke. I don't know where the bowl is. I might think it's still in circulation in this house. But my mom saw what I was doing because I threw out some old stuff and like cardboards and like, why did I keep these things? I threw them out and she asked, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm decluttering, getting rid of stuff, like amalgamating things, merging things, throwing out excess. It's what it is. And she kind of got on the train and she did that with the cutlery and the crockery. And she actually gave me a set because she's like, it's not bad. And I'm just like, that is so great, because that not only rolled over from me to her, it's going to roll over into other aspects of the house and people and just cause a good movement. So I helped one person who happened to be my mother. Like, job done. Like, well done me. Pat on the back. That's all I needed to do. I'm good. So if you do take anything out of this, go at it at your own pace. Don't stress yourself. Figure out what works best for you. And if there isn't anything, then cool, great, you found your sweet spot. Do that to keep going. So, that is my spiel. That took a bit longer than I thought. But I do have some random tips going forward, whether it's physical decluttering or bringing new things in. You never know what might be applicable to you. So, here we go. My first thing is always, when it comes to equipment, like actual physical equipment things, from vacuums to screens to anything that's an equipment, even a camera, always look for alternatives first. I'm a huge secondhand fan, so I do love buying secondhand things, but always shop for secondhand. If you can't find it secondhand, check with a friend. If they might have it, find somewhere maybe you can rent it. There are always alternatives, and especially if you want to buy a piece of equipment, test it first. You've come this far. Check it out first. So that's my biggest tip for equipment. Always test it first and always find alternatives first before buying firsthand. And a good thing about this is that secondhand stores have gone not only in person, but you can go online and find things, which has made life much easier. But my biggest tip when shopping secondhand is flea markets. They won't necessarily be online, they won't necessarily be in a store, but flea markets are a great place to find secondhand stuff. I know my nightstand I bought for $50, gave it a coat of paint, and I've been using it ever since. So, best thing ever. Another tip for buying firsthand, like I said previously, rent it out, make sure it's the right thing, test it out, find alternatives. But if you do want to buy it firsthand, ask yourself, can you live without it? Because obviously, up until this point, you have. And can you keep going without it? Is what you're doing now sufficient? And if not, are you willing to look after it properly once you buy it? Or is this more seasonal? Because sometimes if you're buying something for the summer season, why not just rent it? Why not find a secondhand option? Why are you buying it firsthand? And that is very important when it comes to buying equipment. I actually just spoke about this with my brother this morning. Like, we're looking for stuff for summer, so like camping chairs, things like that. But there are certain specifications we need to meet, so we are looking at various options and alternatives. But it's generally never the first option to buy firsthand. Side note, that is regarding equipment. If it's a clothing item and you want to buy it firsthand, ask yourself, are you replacing an old item that you've been eyeing that you want to buy firsthand? Or do you just want to buy something because you want a new one of something? One thing I like to do when it comes to clothing is, and this is a brilliant tip in my opinion, is take stock of your clothing when you are washing it. Because when you are cleaning something, it's not the best version of itself. Like, when it's clean and hanging on a hanger, you can be like, I still like it, it's fine. But when it's dirty or there's a stain or something, you actually look at it like, oof, you've been through the ringer. And this is the best time to take stock, because you can see, is this item wearing thin? Is there a hole? Do you actually still like it and want to go through the effort of cleaning it? Like, that will make you see it in a whole new light. Or better yet, I have learned to not buy clothes with all these little accessories or accents on it. So I have a sweater in a mint green color with little stars that are like stamped onto it. I've got sweaters with beaded pearls. I've got some stuff with embroidery. I have some stuff with gold or silver like leaf things that have come off in the wash. And I've realized I don't like having to maintain that because I have to hand wash it. It takes time, it takes effort because it's one item being washed and then hanging it up. It's a nightmare. Like, I can't just throw it in the washing machine and call it a day. So when you have to wash clothes, take stock of your clothes and your items. Is it worth it to maintain it and wash it and keep it and upkeep it? Or is it better to maybe donate it, get rid of it, give it a new life and pass it on to someone else? You never know. So take stock of your clothes when you're doing washing. That will make you see it in its genuine form. The next thing to ask yourself when buying items or looking into things that you want is there a way I can DIY this thing? Is there something I can flip that I already have at home that I can breathe new life into? An example of this that I love to use is the Body Shop Advent calendars. I love them. I didn't get last year's one. I got the year prior, and it has been one of the best things I've upcycled and used in a different way. So this one actually has a flip-up lid and three layers, the bottom two being pull-out drawers and the top one being an indent. And I use it every day, twice a day, because it literally holds all my bathroom supplies. So from my spare shower gels to my face cleansers to my toothpaste, everything is there. I use it every single day. And this is something I'm very grateful for, because prior calendars I couldn't really do that with. So I've made it basically into a tabletop vanity thing, and it has worked out quite well. So check with yourself and what you have on hand, and see, is there any way you can kind of take something and DIY it, fix something up that you've been meaning to fix, and instead of replacing it, you can repair it. Or like I said, just upcycle things. You never know what you can find. Another tip for this, I always recommend, is Pinterest, because you will find a DIY for anything. Anything. Like anything you can think of. And the beauty of it is you can organize it into boards. So if you want to DIY woodwork stuff, crocheting, knitting, whatever, however, there's a Pinterest for that. So definitely look into Pinterest, because even if you don't want to DIY, they've got a whole bunch of playlists and stuff where you can just find all sorts of tips on upcycling things, recycling things, or even finding alternatives for the things you want. So maybe you want a table or nightstand or whatever. They'll show you where you can find stuff, different materials you can use, different options, and like cool ways to DIY it. So definitely look into Pinterest. That is a really good thing. And like I said, organizing your boards, best thing ever. Speaking of boards, don't be afraid to clear them. This is going to be the most back to front tip I can ever give, so I apologize, but just hang with me. Hear me out on this one. It'll make sense. So, this tip is don't be afraid to clear the board. By that, I mean literally tossing everything off the board and starting from scratch. I've seen a lot of people do this with socks, and it's the simplest explanation I can think to give you. It's where they basically take all of the socks that they own and donate it, get rid of, cut it up and use it as rags, whatever. Just getting rid of all of it, maybe keeping two funky pairs that have a lot of meaning to them, but basically scrapping everything and buying a few sets of brand new ones in a plain, simple color, and that's what they do. That way, they don't have to go through the stress of getting rid of them and thinking too deeply, but they can start from scratch, have something simple to keep up, which is very important, because having to maintain 10 pairs of socks in the same color is very easy. You throw them all in the little wash bag, throw it in the machine, call it a day. So that is something you can do in other aspects of your life. So don't be afraid to just be like, I don't want to do this. Get rid of it and start from scratch. This might not be the best for sentimental items, but there are certain aspects where it is a good thing. For me, I actually did this with my receipts. I have had these receipts I've been meaning to log for forever and a day, and I just didn't get to it. And I've been maintaining logging receipts as they come in over the last month or so, and that has been fun. But trying to clear the backlog of receipts has just annoyed me and has become more of a hindrance than a help, and just this annoying to-do I never seem to get to. So I've decided to basically clear the board, scrap all the receipts, log for the rest of the year, and start fresh in January. And I'm okay with that, because guess what? In 5 years, when I don't need to hang on to receipts for tax purposes, I can throw it away. I personally don't throw it away. I cut it up and use it in my compost. But you get what I mean. It's not gonna matter, so it's fine. I'm still gonna keep all of them in their little packet for that particular year and hang on to it until I can discard it. But yeah, I don't need to have it logged in my app. So why keep it? Why do that? Why go through all that time and effort if it's pointless? Because it is. So I'm not gonna do that. I'm scrapping that. I'm clearing the board on that. And like I said, find what works for you. If you want to go and log all of them, you do you, my girl or guy, whoever, whatever, wherever you are. But for me, it's a firm no. Thank you. Good night. I'm done with that. No, thank you. In conclusion of this long ranty podcast episode, all of that to say, do your decluttering in your space, in your way, in your time. Rome was not built in a day. Don't make it be done in a day and then the foundation's not set. It's gonna crumble. Don't do that. If you do have a deadline, like I said at the top of this episode, a lot of people want to clear it for Christmas. They want to be ready for New Year's, whatever. If you have a deadline, tackle it methodically. Find out what is the key players and tackle them first, and then go down your list. Have a reasonable time frame. Make sure to give yourself enough skit and then some. And then just go from there. Take it one space at a time. and pace yourself. It's gonna be hard. You might just break down in the middle of your lounge holding a vase. It's okay. Wipe your tears and try again. Like, it's okay. And the thing is, make this plan and then start. And you don't have to do it over a weekend. Set a timer for 10 minutes every single day and do that. I love this tip. Set a 15-minute timer when you're done with work to clear your workspace and take yourself out of work mode and put yourself into home mode. If that means packing up your laptop, changing your outfit, taking a walk around your house, do that for 15 minutes. Set another timer for 15 minutes and clean up throughout your house. So they usually have this thing of like a one-touch system where if you touch it once, you need to do it. So if you're hesitating, do I take my cup? Do I not? If you touch the cup, you just take it and you clean it up. But this in particular 15 minutes, clean up whatever you can. So if that means collecting all the crockery from around your house, if you've got multiple people living there, get all the crockery, put it in the kitchen, sweep something. 15 minutes, that's all you do. Then you take another 15 minutes and you declutter something, pack things away, put them in their spaces, do what you need to do, and off you go. And then another 15 minutes, you just sit and relax, like you've earned it. Do those 15 minutes, four segments, it's an hour. Do Pomodoro if you want to. Find a system that works for you and off you go. Do not stress yourself out. It's supposed to give you less stress, not more stress when you declutter. So that is just my two cents. And honestly, these are tips I've learned going through it myself. I'm not done. Absolutely not. No, it's a work in progress. I do plan on decluttering things going through the rest of the year, which is 2 months, and then tackling everything else next year, which is basically mainly my wardrobe, and then maybe getting rid of some of my other books and things. But yeah, I don't actually have that much to do. It's mainly just my clothes that I need to get rid of and maybe some books. I don't know. But we'll see. So yeah, I've also learned that I tend to burn out in October month. So I want to actually work on taking a break in maybe August, or maybe just doing a reset in August or September, somewhere there. Especially around springtime, which I think is a very good seasonal shift, as a lot of people do like first of spring, spring day, cleaning out your closet type of a thing. Which, funny enough, is the song of the week, Cleaning Out My Closet by Eminem. And honestly, it is the perfect song. Like, need I even say more? It can be literally cleaning out your closet, or it can be him with his emotional baggage of cleaning out his closet and just taking everyone with him. Like, honestly, I can't even. Like, the mental anguish you go through with that song, oof, I love it. I would recommend, if you can't sing a song and make millions, I would definitely say give journaling a try, maybe see a therapist, or better yet, see a therapist after journaling, just to have your thoughts more organized. But you know, you do you. As I always say, keep being a better being, and I'll see you in my next episode. Love you. Bye.